Rama writes in Sif Vav, the osan sheyesh lehen kamin klios sa'aros devuko zubazu, the women have certain kinds of braids, the nases balayla ayide shade, which are formed at night by some shade, the sakanal hasiram, and there's a danger involved in removing them, either because it's going to get the shade angry, or something of the sort, lo chaitzi, that doesn't constitute a chatzisa. This is based on a Mordechai. The Mordechai has a little bit more information than the Rambam. The Mordechai is in Simen Tavshin and Aleph, Shavua Simen Tavshin and Aleph. Mordechai writes as follows. Nashim sheyesh lehem valkstrach bisaros, shenase lehem kalilos machmas shade. So women have these braids in their hair due to some shade. V'sakanas nefasha segalcho, and it would be put their lives on the line to shave it off. D'lo chaitzi. Why? D'kevan d'mahad kituva, zeh b'zeh. Since the braids are tightly woven, tightly cleaving to each other. Havi kibalua ubeis hastaret. Shiri Shevin Levi, he writes on this Ramah, he doesn't mean Beis Astarim, he means Beis Abliya. Beis Astarim, you need at least Rai Lubias Mayim. So it means Beis Abliya, like in the throat. Delom Netame, Vekevin Delom Netame, Lo Chaitzi. Sorry?
That's still the time? Like, what is the.
So that which is not mekabel tuma beisablia is also doesn't constitute a chatzisa. So we'll see there are multiple reasons presented here why you need that. It's not enough to say mahad kituva in the first reason, I'm not sure. And then he says, va'od. The kain v'lan shloshen nimin kishuros einon chotzesos afilu lo chashaf lehu kevelu beis hastarim v'lo avichli chasich achas. So leaving aside balu beis hastarim beis ablia, it's like gimel nimin kishuros which are no chasisa. Mishun de lo mahad ki, because it's not tight, v'aylu b'maya, and the water can go underneath. Kosher keis on the tuba, this is even better than gimel nimin. So far he said two things. Number one, he said it's mahad kituva, and then he says it's lo mahad ki. So right off the bat, that seems a little bit incongruous. Father Shulchan points out Sifkat and Beis, it must be he means either one. Anyway, you slice it, if it's mahad ki tvei, mahad kituva, so then it's not a chatzis for that reason. If it's roughly, and the warning goes underneath, it's not a chatzitza for that reason. And then the Mordechai adds a third reason. V'od shekevin d'lo matzi l'galcha ne'es hakana havi rabisei v'lo chaitzi. K'damina perka arel ha'uber ha'in rabisei afagav d'lav yarech imahu. Just like Gemari Yivamas Ayin Ches, it talks about a tefilas muveres, L'shem Geirus, the pregnant woman is Tavel L'shem Geirus, the Tevil accounts for the fetus as well, because Heiner Rabbi say, even if you don't say Uber Yerachimo, even if you don't view the fetus as part of the mother, but Heiner Rabbi say it's considered part of the entity that is the mother, independent of whether technically Uber Yerachimo. And therefore, it's part of the unit that is undergoing tefillah.
If he said
what's your visa literally? I think it's part of it. What's the etymology? Not sure.
So, but it means. part of the, mm-hmm. she's part of her mother, we assume?
And so.
And so the, here the parades are part of the sar, part of the body.
It's part of the body. It's not going anywhere. And it's part, well, either part of the sayer or part of the body, for all intents and purposes, that's the same for in context. It's considered part of the guf, part of the person. If you look in the Gilead Marasha here on the side, he just summarizes the points of the Mordechai. Yesh b'zakam v'tamim. Aleph mishim de'ena makpedes. Ena makpedes because there's a sakana. So for all intents and purposes, she doesn't care that it's there, because it would be sakana to remove it. Beis mishim de'havi yoser minima achas k'del'el. Gimel mishum kevin de'mahadi tuva zebezeh. Havi kevalua beis astarim, dalid kevin lo masi lagalchem nei sakana. Havi rabise nafkamina bein atamim. V'im rov hasaros kluim. If rov of the hairs are braided, dilatam echad harubo gam beina makbid chotzeis midrabanan. So if the only reason is that it's eina makbid, that won't help. Eina makbid alone doesn't help because it could be a rov. The other reasons, even if it's a rov, would apply.
Can you add an answer?
Eina makbid.
Yeah.
So, very good. So, the Mordechai that we have, now, you could understand that the sakana is predicated on eina makbid, that Haina Ravise alone wouldn't work if you would be makbid. The only reason you can say Haina Ravise is because it's Eina makbid. But you're correct that the Mordechai doesn't really spell out in any way makbid. The Levush does. The Aruch HaShulchan here in Sifchas Zayin quotes from the Levush that the reason that these braids are not chotzes is because Eina makbid. But in point of fact, the Mordechai doesn't say that. So you're correct that Rav Shlomo Eiger seems to be superimposing an additional reason on the Mordechai that doesn't appear in the Mordechai Lefaneinu. It does appear in the Levush. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan acknowledges, as Rav Shlomo Eiger does, that this reason only gets you so far. If it's Eina makbid, that doesn't help by a rov. So the reason of Eina makbid alone, even if you do want to go with it, only helps in a limited way. That's what the Sidrei Torah points out, that you have to come on to Haina Ravise, because in a situation where the braids are ro seyar, for koshish for the sheep, the sagonin, then we look at the seyar as an independent unit, then Eina Makbid doesn't help. But implicit in the Eino Makbid approach, where it is relevant, is that even if the reason you're not Makbid is because of Sakana, meaning theoretically, in an ideal situation, if not for the threat of the Shadim or whatever this funny Sakana is, you'd want to get rid of the braids. The reason you're not doing it is because of the Sakana. So that itself could make it considered Eino Makbid. The Shir Shevili, because of Machlokas Achronim, how do we define the Sakana? Again, the context of the Mordechai is a little bit curious. What are these demons doing, and what's the Sakana involved? But he quotes a Machlokas between the Imre Yosher and others. What if it's a temporary Sakana? You know, the Sakana will pass at some point, as opposed to a long-term Sakana. So he quotes the Ibn Yosha that even a temporary sakana would be considered a sakana to invoke the Mordechai, and he quotes others as being cholik.
Everyone agrees it could extend it into other sakanas?
Other than Shadim?
Yeah.
It seems like it. It would be a very limited relevance, at least considering our contemporary interaction with Shadim.
No, but if you can't take off a cast because it's dangerous for you.
Ah, so we'll discuss. Correct, I'm saying that if it was limited to Shadim, it would have limited relevance. Correct. But we'll discuss, there may be a difference between sakana and sar. If something is painful to remove, is that the same thing as if something is dangerous to remove? That we'll probably get to next time we talk about scabs. And cast we'll get to down the road as well. There is a comment of the Rash in Mikvos at the very end, the last Rash in Mesechus Mikvos, Paragud Mishnah Ches. I think it's the last one. There he's talking about the din of the Tosefta. If you have an arrow that pierces your thigh, hanichnas l'cheit b'recho, as we have here in Sif Yud Aleph and Shulchan Aruch, the Tosefta from Machlokes Tanayim, Rabbi and Chachamim, is at a chatzitza. Medvar, Mumin says the Tosefta, so you have an arrow that penetrates your body, and you can't remove it so easily. It's there, like a bullet lodged in your leg. So Rebbe says, not a chatzisa, come and say it is a chatzisa. Tosefta says, the medvar, memburim, the shel matachas. That, my folk, is talking about a metal arrow. Avav shel eitz, hareis achotzeis. If it's a wooden arrow, everyone agrees that it's a chatzisa. Im karmalafa or milmala hakomodu shena choses. And everyone agrees that if the body ready begins to heal over the embedded arrow, then it's not a chasisa. Okay, so the Tosefta says if it's a wooden arrow, everyone agrees it's a chasisa. If the body begins to heal, the skin heals over it, everyone agrees it's not a chasisa. Machlokes is about a metal arrow where it hasn't yet begun to heal. It's fine. Says the Rash. What's the difference between metal and wood? Mishel matachas, aili be mayat fei, mishel eitz. So if it's a wooden arrow, so then the water can more easily get around it, as opposed to a wooden, water can get around metal more easily than around wood. Inami, mishel matachas, ikas sakana tfei, kishemotzio. If it's made out of metal, there's more of a sakana when you remove it. So the reason Rebbe says it's not a chatzitza, says the Rash in the second chat, is because there's a sakana involved in removing it. The davar she'eino makbid, eino chotzeis. So you see in this Rash as well, that if you have something that is dangerous to remove, in the Mordechai's case, it was dangerous to remove because of the threat of Shadim. In the Rashi's case, it's dangerous to remove because, I don't know if it'll make it more prone to infection or whatever the danger is in removing the piece of metal from the body. But that the fact that there's a sakana to remove it makes it into a eino makbid, and therefore there's no chatzitza. Okay. The Or Zeruah says something similar. The Or Zeruah, Chelek Aleph Simen Shin Samach Beis. Chelek Aleph Simen Shin Samach Beis. He's also talking about a chetz. He writes, Kevan shi efshar lakutsan afogav de ritzona lo nichaluhu labahu. So since you can't easily remove it, even though if it's up to you, you'd rather not be there in the first place, hashami rabisehu, the eva filu isa de rabbanan, laduna karuba jedamakrib, the loazina basaruba de inchi elabasar dide. So that's considered to be eino makbid, even though you'd rather not be in the first place if it's dangerous to remove it. I'm sorry, that line, he started off talking about faith, that line's going on the brain space. I'm sorry. So there, if it's dangerous to remove it, so he says, even if it's rove, then haine rabise, that's considered eino makbid. And even if it's rove, that doesn't bother us because it's considered haine rabise. So the fact that even if you'd rather not be there in the first place, but right now you have no interest in removing it because of the associated danger, that makes it to eino makbid. And even if it's rove, you say haine rabise. Rabbi Reis wrote an article that he printed in one of the recent Beis Yitzchaks about a case he dealt with in Chicago of a Gioras who was coming to be Tavelis, the Shem Geras, who had dreadlocks. So he assumed, bottom line, that dreadlocks are somewhat analogous or perhaps even better than the case in the Mordechai. Bottom line, it's the same kind of haine rabise. It's impractical and generally impossible for someone who has their hair naturally in such a way to just cut it all off or to remove it, to remove those braids, apparently. And the kind of haine rabise that the Mordechai writes would apply to that as well. You wouldn't have to cut off all your hair.
There's no sakana,
but you have the haine rabise where it's that's the normal growth of the hair. And the only way of managing that normal growth of the hair is through dreadlocks.
Didn't we say before that we're not here for other B'nai Adam, so she's but ridiculous for other people would be machmir in such a hair like that. When it comes to business, it's different because everyone would be machmir in a sakana.
So you may look at the robe there is based on that class of people. The class of people that have that kind of hair are, you know, just like as you view the painters as their own class. That if a painter has a chatzitza, has some paint on their finger, then most people would view as not good. But a painter doesn't view that as not good. We don't look at the entire world. We look at the class of painters. So it could be that we would look at the class of people with that fashion or that kind of hair as a separate unit. The Chamudi Daniel just points out here in Sifkat and Vav and this Ramah that near she tzricha lahashas b'mayim as she comes from a mayim heitev. Even if we're going to be makel to not view these braids as a chatzitza, you still have to soak them in water in the mikveh as much as possible to allow for the water to go underneath to the extent that it can. Okay, again, we'll talk probably next time about Sa'ar, which may be analyzed a little bit differently than Sakana, as far as what constitutes a chazitza. Okay, let's take a look now at the Gemara on Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. Now, just by way of introduction, the Gemara in Samach Vav Amud Beis establishes, as we well know, the principle of Raya L'Bias Mayim when it comes to Beis Astara. The Gemara says on Samach Vav Amud Beis, Amar Rava, a few lines down, the Olam Yilamid Adam Esav Beis Ashtei Isha Madicha Beis Kmateha B'Mayim. But a woman has to rinse out the folds in her body in preparation for Tevila. Meisivei, Beis HaKmatim, Beis Astarim, Einam Svichon L'Bias Mayim. So don't we know that Beis HaStarim doesn't require Bias Mayim? The water doesn't have to go into the Beis HaStarim. Nehi de Bias Mayim lo bina, makam arayla Bias Mayim bina, kedur b'zeira, dar b'zeira, kol arayla bila, en bila makeves bo, shein arayla bila, bila makeves bo. This is the famous application of kol arayla bila, that even though you don't require Bias Mayim mamish in the Beis HaStarim, it has to be ra'ui with Bias Mayim. Fine. So in light of that, let's look at the Gemara on Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, a few lines down, Amar Rami Bar Abba, Hani Rabbi de Kosilta Ad Tlasa Yomi Lo Chaitzi Mikan Ve'ela Chaitzi. So this kind of a scab is Chotzei up to 3 days. Amar Ukva Liflo Sheva Ayin Lach Eino Chotzei Yavish Chotzei. If you have some crust in the eye, if it's moist, it's not a chatzitza. If it's dry, it is a chatzitza. Amos Nikra Yavish Misha Shemaska Liyarek. Amar Shmuel Kachol Shebesoch Ayin Rouge in the eye in a chotzeis. Mishal Gabi Ayin outside the eye is chotzeis. Fine. Emma Yuena Porachos Afila Gabi Ayin in a chotzeis. Okay, so three halachas here. Ruvdi de Kosilta, Liflif Sheba Ayin, and Kachol either inside or outside the eye. So some of these we'll talk about at greater length as we go on. And then the Gemara is a fourth din, Amar Rav Yochanan, Paschei Nevi Yoser, O Asmei Nevi Yoser, Lo Asa LaTfila. If a woman closes her eyes more than the norm, shuts her eyes more than the norm, or opens her eyes more than the norm, then the tefillah is invalid. Your normal pose is like this, and then you go like that. We'll get there. So at first glance, this maimer has nothing to do with the previous maimeras. Liflif Shavayin, Ubud de Kasilta, Kachol, these are all various types of potential chatzitzas. And then the Gemara is a totally different than Rabbi Yochanan about keeping your eyes excessively open or closed. However, Tosos here, the second Dibur Maskil Paschei Neha, quotes a girsa of Rabbeinu Chananel, of Gaonim, that adds a line into the Gemara that we don't have in our Gemara. Look at those. So Paschei Neha, Acher Zakasev Befer Shabbeinu Chananel, the Mixas Asfarim, the Les Hilchasa, Kachol Hanishmaisa. The Allah is not like the previous Maimras. Dechi Itmar Hani Lataros, Avalabaila Tahora. Because these dinim that we just quoted are only relevant as far as taras are concerned, but they're not relevant as far as the heter labayla. So we're machmir on these things le'inyan taras, tefillin taras. We're not machmir le'inyan heter labayla. Ki had amareish lakish isha la titbal ela derech gidelasa. And then he quotes a tshuva attributed to Rashi that emphatically is not gores this line in the Gemara. For a number of reasons. Number one, the way the Rabbeinu Chananel's Girsa presents it, we don't paskin like the previous halachos because of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, "Isha lo titbal el gederach kedei lasa." What does that have to do with anything? the woman has to stand straight when she goes to, into the mikveh. What does that have to do with the previous maimers? How does that tell you that we don't paskin like the previous maimers? Number two, all these maimers are in the names of Amoraim and Bavel. So presumably they're talking halacha lemaisha, not theoretically when you're tovel for Tyrus. It's difficult to assume that they were talking for a different generation, a different location. And other kashas as well. Okay. Now, how do we assume la halacha? The Rambam writes, Perek Beis Mikvas Halacha Kaf Beis. Pascha Inah B'Yoser, O Atzma Inah B'Yoser, Lo Asala Tvila. Med Var Murim L'Inyin Taras. Avala Tira L'Baila, Harezu Mutaras. See Paskins, that this din of Pascha Inah B'Yoser only applies to Taras, not Labailo. Why? And then he says the previous halachas as well, of Kachol. Shekol Dvarma Elu, Kayotzi Behen Einan Chotzisin Elami Devrayim. So the chatzitzas listed here are only chatzitzas midrabanan. Uli Inyan Taharos Gazru, Linyan Bilo Gazru. And the only institute of these chatzitzas derabanan is a chumer for taros, not le'inyin heter le'baila. Yep. And the Ravid's Masik. Okay. This also quotes from the Mordechai V'Shem Yireim, a potentially middle position, that we do assume, like the Gemara's modification, like the Rabbeinu Chananel, that the previous halachas of the Gemara, the three maimers about chatzitzas and Rabbi Yochanan, are only relevant le'inyan taras and not le'inyan hetel l'baila. However, that's only as a lechachila, as a b'di'avid matter. But lechachila, everyone agrees that you should be machmer even l'baila. There's also things that may be shot in the Rambam as well, that the qualification that hani mili le'inyan taros is only on a lechachila level, is only on a b'di'evit level, but lechachila we should be machmir even le'inyan baila. And Shulchan Aruch, so a little bit, the Shach is a little bit bothered by this, but starting with Siv Zayin, Mechav writes, Liflif shechutz la'ayin chotzeitz, etc. Siv Ches, Kachol sheba'ayin eino chotzeitz, etc. So the Mechav here, paskins like the Mamus in the Gemara here, without qualification. So it sounds like Mechav is assuming la'halacha, that this applies even le'inyan baila. Yeah. But if you look in the Mechaber later in the Siman, in Sif Lamates, the Mechaber writes, Lotatsim eina habiyoser, v'al tiftachem biyoser, v'mazasakein yesh omrim shelo alsala tvila. So there, by Yetzimus Einayim, the Mechaber presents this as two deus. When it comes to Kachol Sheba'ayin, Liflif Sheba'ayin, The Mechaber just says, follows the Gemara that it's potentially a chatzitza without qualification. When it comes to Atzimas Einayim, the Mechaber acknowledges two deis, presumably those two deis, as to whether this is only the Inyan Taras or the Inyan Baila as well. So there is a position in the Ravid, the Ravid in the Bali Nefesh, Timon Beis Osches, who assumes that the qualification of Rabbeinu Chananel's Girsa only applies to the first three halachas in the Gemara, to that of Ruvda de Kasilta and Lifluf and Kachol, but doesn't apply to Rabbi Yochanan's Memra about Lotatsim Beinah B'Yoser. So Lotatsim Beinah B'Yoser is relevant even to Taros, but the previous halacha are relevant even to the Baila, the previous halachas are only relevant to Taros. So that is another position in Rishonim. The Shach is bothered, go back to Sikkat and Yud Gimel. The Shach is bothered why the Mechaber doesn't make mention of the contrary position that these things don't constitute a chatzitza le'inyan baila. Right, look in Sukkot and Yud Gimel. Das Arayvid, V'Rashba, V'Rambam, V'Binatam, V'Smag, V'Shar Kamigonim, V'Chatzitza Zuv, V'Chay Chatzitza B'Sivchas V'Tes, Eino Elataros, Avalola Baila, M'Vim Beis Yosef, V'Tema, Shalihiskir Daitim Khan. Why is the Mechaber not quote these positions? At the very end of the Shach, he concludes, Mikol Mokam Nira, Dehecha De'efshet, Shetip Olshenis, Yesh lahafmir, so we definitely assume that these are chatzitzos. Aval heicha de lo efshar vade kedayim kolhani rebusa lisma chaleim shapaska de lataras tafke imer v'lo labayla. But if you're stuck, you can rely on the significant number of Rishonim that assume, like the Girsa Rabbeinu Chananel, that these details in chatzitza are not lemaisa. The Gon may say over here in Sifkat Mem Dalid this is how he saw it presented in some of the contemporary Sfarim, but I wasn't 100% sure if it's 100% clear here inside, but they present the Gon as saying that all the Mechaber meant to do was to paskin like the Uraim that he quotes in the Beis Yosef, that lechachila were machmer for these kinds of chatzitzas l'bayla, but b'di'eved it wouldn't be ma'akif. So the Mechaber in Sifzayin Chastes is talking about the din lechachila, but in a chanami, in a b'di'eved situation, as the Shach says, you could be mekel.
The Reim
is the middle position. That's the Beis Yosef quotes the Mordechai from the Reim that this is only a din b'di'eved, but l'chachila, everyone agrees that you should be makbid for these kinds of chatzitzas.
So would agree with the Shach?
He would agree with the Shach, bottom line. The Shach wonders why the Mechaber doesn't quote this Deya, and the Gon, according to this, is saying the Mechaber implicitly does quote the Deya, or at least acknowledges it, but the bottom line would be the same. Correct. Now let's look back at Sif Lamites. The Rishonim are bothered by the following kasha, which should shed some light on this din of Atzimas Einayim. That's Lamites, Latas Midabi Yoser. Sif Lamites reads, Eino Tzricha Leftoach Pia Kadesh Yichnesu Bamayim. So a woman doesn't have to open her mouth when she goes to the mikveh in order to allow the water in. Udelo Ketosos Dibur Maskel Pascha, the first Dibur Maskel. So we pass and a woman doesn't have to open her mouth. Velo Tixbos the Sayosim Midai, but she shouldn't keep it shut more than the norm. Vim Kavsa Lo Asala Tvila. She should hold them in a normal position, but she shouldn't overly shut them when she goes to the mikvah. So the Rishonim are bothered by the following kasha. Our Gemara here has a member of Rabbi Yochanan that a woman shouldn't be otzemes eineh habiyoser. And then according to many Rishonim, the Rabbeinu Chanan al Udimei, according to many Rishonim, that din is only relevant le Tyros, and not relevant le Baila. So according to all those Rishonim, the Rambam, Rabbeinu Chanan, many others, le Halacha, there's no restriction on a woman shutting her eyes in an extreme fashion. So why is that different? Why is that different than the Mishnah in Mikvos, Perek Ches Mishnah Hay, which is the basis of Sif Lamaches over here, where the Mishnah says, Kafsa Yada Karza Sif Saseha Ki'ilu Lo Tavla, that if a woman shuts her fist tight, or shuts her mouth, it's as if she didn't go to the mikvah. The tefillah is not valid. So if you assume that Atzmei Nevi Yoser is valid, why is that different than Karta Sif Saseha, which is invalid? I'm sorry? We'll see Machlok if he shut exactly, but for now, the lips are too tight. She shut her mouth. So the Rashba, the Ramban, the Raivid deal with this. The Rashba here on Samach Zayin Amud Aleph writes as follows. V'ika shalach maishna paschayna habiyoser o asmeyna hadaloma akvi b'tfila u maishna karsa sifsasad etananki lo tavla. So why is it that if she opens her eyes or closes her eyes to the extreme, according to Rabbeinu Chanan, the Rambam, and others, it's not ma'akev, but if she closes her mouth in the extreme, it is ma'akev. Lo tipshi. Devadai kartza sifsa seha ma'akevas bias mayim v'makam agoli. Where she closes her mouth shut, that prevents the water from coming in. So you need ra'i l'bias mayim, and that's not ra'i l'bias mayim. But if you open your eyes wide, you're not preventing the water from coming in. Ella kimatin ba'almahu da'avda b'makam shadarka b'kach. So the only potential problem is that you're creating folds, it sounds like on the outside of the eye. But you're not preventing the water from coming into the eye. The after namish enam akven klami lava ben mayim amish. It could be that you're not preventing any water from going anywhere. The asma, if you're opening your eye too wide. That he quotes in the Ramban. And then the Rashba quotes the Ravid. Aval arrived pasach ba'asmeina pasachina k'rab Yochanan. So he paskins that this is l'maisa. U'medamalu l'karza sifsaseha. So if you pasach like Rabbi Yochanan l'maisa, not like the Rabbeinu Chanan, not the Ravid, so then the halachas in fact are parallel. Asmeina is a problem. Karza sifsaseha is also a problem. So you don't have a kasha. The premise of the Rashba's kasha is that we don't pasach like Rabbi Yochanan. So why is it that by Asma'inaha or Paskainaha is not a problem of Lacha. Karsa Sifsaseha is a problem. So the Rashba, in giving this teretz, seems to be assuming as far as Pshat in Asma'inaha and Paskainaha, like Rashi. Rashi writes here in our Sugya, what's the issue? Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, Paskainaha B'Yoser, Havya Chatzitza Lamala. It's a chatzitza above, sounds like outside the eye. That if you open the eye too much, it's not that there's a problem with bias mind in the eye, but you're creating folds on the top of the eye, outside the eye, that could potentially constitute a chatzitza. Asmei Nabi Yoser Havya Chatzitza Lamata. If you're going to close your eyes tight, shut them tight, so then the potential chatzitza is on the folds on the outside of the eye, on the bottom of the eye. There's not a problem in the eye itself. It's not that there's a chisar and right levi esmayim in the eye. The issue is the potential kamatim that are being created on the outside of the eye. That's what the Rashba sounds like as well in its contrast between atzimas or psichas einayim and kartsa sifsasah. That's in distinction to the Me'iri. The Me'iri writes here in the Sugya in Nida. Like we just quoted from the Ravid, basically, that Asma'inaha is exactly parallel to Kartsa Sifsaseh. So that seems to assume that just like Kartsa Sifsaseh, the problem may be that you're preventing Bias Mayim in the mouth. By Asma'inaha, you're preventing the Bias Mayim in the eye. Now, how you're preventing Bias Mayim in the case of Paskeinah B'Yoser, I'm still not sure. The Me'iri doesn't seem to spell that out. Right, Asma'inaha B'Yoser, you're preventing the water from coming in. Paskeinah B'Yoser, you're not preventing the water from coming in. So how is that exactly parallel to Kartsa Sifsaseh? Not sure. Now, Kartsa Sifsaseh itself is 2 days in the Rash there in the Mishnayos Mikvos. And those 2 days may correspond to the two pshatim here by Yitzimetz Einayim as well, as far as whether there's a parallel. So the Rash writes, the Mishnah Kartsa Sifsaseh, Perek Tes Mishnah Hei, Hidbika Sifsaseh V'lonifna Sahamayim B'fiya. She shut her mouth closed so that the water didn't go in. Unehid B'yas Mayim Lo B'inan B'beis Hastarim Ro'i L'B'yas Mayim B'inan. So even though you don't need the water to actually go, it has to be ra'oi. And if you shut your mouth closed, it's not ra'oi l'bias mayim. And then he says, uksas hayanira dekartza hu lashon dochak. Not just that you close your mouth. That's the day in Tosfos that you have to keep your mouth open. It's not just that you close your mouth, but you shut it. Shedochak esifsaseh b'yoser. Kamo paskayna b'yoser. So the first part in the Rash is basically you just close your mouth. It's not royal bias mayim if your mouth is closed. And that seems to be the position of Tosfos here in Edom. Second part is if you just close it, that's not a problem. Problem is if you shut it tight in an extreme way. Parallel to Pascha Einaha. Or Atzmeinaha. And that second shot, the Rash has in the very end of Maseches Mikvos, the end of Perek Yud, he just presents a second shot, which some of the later Svarim point out, it sounds like the Rash assumed away Lalacha, because the second time around, he just presents that second shot. That Karsa Sasa is that Yudafka closed it in an extreme fashion, which makes it Eina Ra'ui L'Bias Mayim. So in light of that, let's look back in Shulchan Aruch. In Sif Lamed Ches, Eino Tzricha Liftoach Pia Kidei Sheyechnusu Bahamayim. So we don't pass in Leitosis. You don't have to open your mouth in order to allow the water to go in. Below Tikpos Osa Yoser Midai. But you shouldn't shut it in an extreme way. And if you do so, then the tefillah doesn't count. So that sounds like elatoshik sefsesel zulazu dibuk beinu. You should keep your mouth closed in a normal, relaxed fashion. So that seems to be like the second position on the Rash. That just keep your mouth closed. That's not a problem. If you shut it overly tight, that would be a problem. And then siflamites latatsamei na biyoser v'al tiftachem biyoser. So, if you're choshish for that position, the Rav Yochanan's meimer is lahalacha, even le'inyan isa labayla, then atzimas einayim biyoser is going to be a problem. So, according to the Rash, that's shutting your eyes in a extreme fashion, as opposed to Rashi. For whom the issue seems to be the chatzitz on the outside, and not the problem of roilu biyasmayim inside the eye itself. Okay, Rav Moshe has the following analysis about chatzitz of beis hastarim. Rav Moshe has a series of tshuvas that we'll probably touch on as we move forward. Regarding a situation where a woman has a medical condition that makes it dangerous for water to get into her ears. So how do you deal with that in a tefillah context? And the way he starts off, is there a possibility of having some kind of gauze inserted into the ear, lined with Vaseline inserted into the ear, that would prevent water from going into the part of the ear that would make it dangerous? Does that constitute a chatzitza? Maybe it's a chatzitza derabanan, but would be makel to allow a chatzitza derabanan b'makom igun where there's no way she could be come to hor labayla otherwise? Or maybe it's not even a chatzitza. So his initial analysis before getting to the crux of the specific issue at hand works off of this sugya of karsa sifsa seha, and what exactly is the din of roi labias mayim bebeis hastarim? Because the way he presents it is as follows. He quotes the Rash that we just quoted. 2 days in the Rash, whether you're allowed to close your mouth in a normal fashion. So he asks, we assume la halacha, psach and shulchan aruch, not like Tosfos, not like the first day in the Rash, that you're allowed to close your mouth in a normal fashion. Why should that be so? Don't you need ra'i l'bias mayim? So how can you call that ra'i l'bias mayim? There's no way the word is going to get into your mouth if your mouth is closed. And he says, don't tell me, the Aruch HaShulchan has a suggestion, the Aruch HaShulchan here in Sifkata Nun Ches, Aruch HaShulchan has a suggestion that if you keep your mouth in a default position, then water can get in, and that's why it's considered ra'i l'bias mayim. So according to the position, we accept l'halacha, that if you keep your mouth in a default, normal position, that's not a problem, that's because the water could really get in. So Rav Moshe doesn't like that. He says, according to that, you're going to tell me that the machlokas of 2 days in the Rash is the machlokas of Messias. Whether that's the case, that if you keep your mouth in a default position, water can get in or not. So he doesn't think there's any validity to that position. So instead, Rav Moshe comes up with the following analysis. That there are two types of chatzitzas. One kind of chatzitza is a chatzitza that is davak al haguf. It adheres to the body. It's not part of the body. It adheres to the body. And that prevents water from getting through. The second kind of chatzitza is not where you have an external object that is blocking the water from getting through, but you just yourself block the water. Let's say you have another person who is touching you in a place or holding in a place that prevents the water from getting in. That's also a chatzitza. But that second kind of chatzitza, he says, where you're preventing the water from getting in, that's only relevant in an exposed area. An exposed area, you need bias mayim mamish. Beis hastarim, you don't need bias mayim mamish. All you need is ra'i l'bias mayim. So the only problematic chatzitza is a chatzitza that's davuk, which creates a situation where it's not ra'i l'bias mayim at all. But if you don't have something davuk, you just have a person holding his hand there, and the water can't get past because you're holding your hand there. So that is not a kind of chatzitza, that's a problem, the beis hastarim. Because it's fundamentally still ra'i l'bias mayim. So now you understand the reason you're allowed to close your mouth is, yeah, the water can't get in. But if the only thing preventing the water from getting in is keilu your hand blocking it or your mouth blocking it, so that's not a kind of external chatzitza, which makes it eina ra'oi l'bias mayim. Anything that's shot in the second day in the Rash, how we assume l'alacha, why you don't have to close your mouth, open your mouth, when you go to the mikvah. And then he tries to argue that maybe if you put a gauze in the ear, that's analogous to the second kind of chatzitza. It's not davuk. It's just there. And it's fundamentally ra'i l'bias mayim. So the application we'll have to address sometime later on. But that analysis is also hakdama to the discussion about contact lenses and the original discussion in Poskim about a glass eye, which the Shalom Eishim discussed. I don't think we really have this anymore, but someone who is blind would wear a glass eye as a kind of cosmetic thing to mask or cover up the blindness. So Shalom Eishim is in Madura Tinyana Chela Gimel Simen Kufches. Madura Tinyana Chela Gimel Simen Kufches. Who discusses whether this glass eye is considered a chatzitza. Again, it's something ornamental that a person who is unable to see would put in the eye. So do we consider that matbid, excuse me, it's definitely a miut, but do we consider that matbid? So Shalom Eishiv has two reasons to be mako, that if a woman were to go to the mikvah with this glass eye, it wouldn't constitute a chatzitza. Number one, it's not mehuduk. It's not. It doesn't adhere to the eye. The water can get around it. So it's considered ra'i l'bias mayim. And number two, it's considered eino makbid. Why is it considered eino makbid? Makbid would be where there's a reason you don't want it there, or there's some kind of gnai involved in having it there. And that's why you remove it sometimes. But if it's there for cosmetic purposes, for ornamental purposes, and the only reason you remove it at intervals is to make sure it won't get dirty or get ruined, that's not considered makbid. And even if, when you keep it in your eyes sometimes, there's tsar involved, but you don't mind the tsar because the benefit of having this glass eye outweighs the tsar component. Okay, so number one, Shalmesh says it's not behudik, it doesn't adhere, the water can get around, it's considered right to be a smayim. And number two, it's not considered makrid, even though you remove it at certain times, you only remove it shalo yiskalkel. But fundamentally, if not for that, you would want to keep it on all the time. But Ramosha, Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Dalid, quotes the Shalom Eishiv, He doesn't like the second reason of the Shalonesha, the Shalonesha's definition of Makbid. Because bottom line, the norm is to remove this every night. So why is that different than the Tabas that you remove for Lisha? Right? Just like we assume, based on the Ravid and Zichron Yosef, that if you have a ring, that most of the time you don't care if it's on or not, but you remove it, Mishas Lisha, and that would constitute a chatzis. So see here too, you remove it on a regular basis at night, should be no worse than Lisha, even if under normal circumstances, when you don't remove it, it's there, Linoi. Especially the reason that you remove it is because it's painful to keep it on overnight, so that's another reason it should constitute a kpeda, and it should be no worse than a regular tabas. In the Shari Tefillah, in the beginning of Siman Lamed Tes, he presents the Shalom Eishiv. He thinks the Shalom Eishiv sounds like the Metzias was that a woman wouldn't remove it even at night. You'd remove it on an occasional basis to clean it or to prevent it from getting ruined, but the norm would be to keep it in even at night. And he says that's why it's better than, that's why it's potentially better than dentures. Dentures you remove every night. But this, he says, you don't generally remove. You remove it to clean every now and then, so it's better than dentures, better than the tabas. And that's why the Shalom Eishiv says is no, there's no issue of kepeda. But Ramosha is assuming that we're talking about a case where you do remove it every night, and that itself would make it considered makbid. Ramosha also assumes that if it's the case that if it's going to stay all the time, it's going to create some detrimental effect on the body, then that would be another reason to consider it makbid. Nevertheless, Ramosha himself has another independent Sava Hakil, independent of the Shalom Eishiv, that based on his Chiddush that we just presented, that a chatzis of Beis HaStarim is only a problem if it's davuk, if it adheres to the body. So here you have something that doesn't adhere to the body. As the Shalom Eishiv said in his first reason, it's not mehudak, the more to get around, it's right with the Yasmayim. So here as well, even if it is a little bit mehudak, but it's not fundamentally davuk to the eye, davuk to the body, and Moshe says that would be Eitzat Lahakel. That's why Moshe's Mako, when it comes to contact lenses, even though Lichathila, women should remove contact lenses, but Bidi Eved, if they weren't removed, so since it doesn't absolutely adhere to the body, Moshe says there are grounds not to require another Tevila. The Shari Tefillah raises another issue in Siman Mem, that even if it is loose, even if you don't know the issue of Mehudak, even if it's loose, like the first reason of the Shalom Eishiv, your emotion is going to be makel, even if it's not loose, because in Lomdus it's considered loose or not Davuk, but even if it is loose, the Shari Tefillah raises, maybe we should be concerned that if you went to the mikvah wearing contact lenses, then that's going to create a situation of Atzmei Nehabiyoser. If contact lenses can come in contact with water, anyone here wear contacts? Is that correct?
No, more than the eyes.
I'm sorry?
Not more than your eyes.
Not more than your eyes?
They can come in contact with water.
Meaning, just as much as you would be uncomfortable with your eyes being open in the water?
I don't know. I just looked on the internet, and the first one that came up is if your contact lens comes in contact with water, you should replace it because that increases risk of infection. Ask your eye doctor. So at least that's what the Shari Tefillah represents, that people don't want the lens to come in contact with water, so a woman would be kind of naturally inclined to shut her eyes tighter than the norm if she's going to the mikvah with contact lenses. So maybe that's another reason to be concerned, even be the eved with the tefillah done while wearing contact lenses. The Shevet Levi is concerned about this as well, the Osme Ineha effect on contact lenses. Chelek Beis Simen Tzadi Zayin. Shuv Seva Levi Chelek Beis Simen Tzadi Zayin. So he thinks that even Bidi Eved, if a woman was Asma Inaha B'Yoser, you have to go to the mikveh again. But Lansa and Baila, so then you don't have to be so quick to go to the mikveh again. Because according to many of Rishonim, we're Mako. And that's the position of the Shach Bidi Eved as well in Sifkata Nun Aleph, that if she was a Temes Yedeha, B'yoser b'di eved l'achar ma'isa, you could be meko like those who shown that we don't pass in like Rabbi Yochanan le'inyan baila. So even though on a lichachila matter, you definitely shouldn't be toggle with contact lenses, and even if you were, you should go back to the mikvah. But if far lansen baila, then there's no need. Badei Shulchan is Mesupak L'Halacha, what we say by Lansa and Baila, Sifkata Reit Sarivav. Taras Abayis, Rav Avadia, page Kavav, Chela Gimel is Mekel B'Dieved by Lansa and Baila, and that's the Rabbi Willard's position as well, that Licha Chila, don't go to the mikvah contact lenses, even if you did, if you're able to go back to the mikvah that night, do so. And for Lansa and Baila, then you realize you have contact lenses, then there's what to be Mekel on B'Dieved, not to require another tefillah.
Is Parlansa and Baila the same guy that make a bracha again?
What do you mean?
Meaning, if you hold that even the evidence should go back, but only if Parlansa and Baila, then you don't believe make them, should you make a bracha again if you wore contact lenses the first time?
No, I don't think so. In all these cases where we tell you to go to mikvah again because of a chashash patsis, in most of these cases they're only the chumra, then you wouldn't say bracha.
But here's even more. There's only Lansa and Baila, that's the only time you can make them.
Even so, that's just because. So, in any situation, if it's easy to redo it, we say to redo it. But push comes to shove, we wouldn't say bracha because meikar adin is what to rely on. That it was good anyway. Okay, so next time we'll start talking about the ear chatzisa situation, perforated eardrums. Then we'll go on to talk about scabs. Probably give you some additional marmor comments after that.